Our text this morning is found in Numbers chapter 14 and the verse 24. The Lord is speaking and he references my servant Caleb because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now, a little bit of homework for you, something for you to look up during this afternoon or the rest of the week. Six times it says in our Bible that Caleb fully followed the Lord. Your homework is to find those six references and to put them into practice. He fully followed the Lord. It's a wonderful description that's given to no one else in the Old Testament apart from Joshua and King David. So that's really saying something about this man, Caleb. He fully followed the Lord. In contrast, it says in 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 6 that Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord as his father David did. So Caleb stands apart as a man of faith and a man of courage. He's a man who pleased God. He will win a great victory. He will inherit a great promise. And I think there are things that we can learn from Caleb and apply them to our own lives this morning. So I want to challenge you to be more like Caleb, who followed the Lord fully. I think too often we settle for mediocrity. We settle for average or good enough. But good enough is not good enough. We should be striving for greatness in the things of God. So we want to follow Caleb's example and be those who follow the Lord fully. So what kind of man was Caleb? Well, Caleb and Joshua were the only two out of the 12 spies that were willing to follow the Lord back into the promised land again. Even though they knew that there were giants in the land and walled cities to overcome, they did not fear because they knew and they believed that God was greater than all of their enemies. And so they returned from their spying mission, ready to bring their report to Moses and all the people. However, upon their return, the people of Israel rejected the report of Joshua and Caleb and sided with the 10 other spies that brought back a negative report. And so in their unbelief, they refused to enter into the promised land. The Lord told Moses as a response to this that he would destroy all of Israel in the wilderness because of their unbelief, all except Joshua and Caleb. He had spent the next 40 years fulfilling that word, and at the end of 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, only two people who left Egypt that were over the age of 20 entered into the land of promise, Joshua and Caleb. Everyone else perished in the wilderness because of their unbelief. These two men stood out as an example of faith and commitment and consecration to the Lord. And by way of testimony, the Lord says of Caleb that he had another spirit with him and has followed me fully. Now, the name Caleb has two meanings, I'm told. Its first meaning is dog. Dog. Not one of us would call our children dog. In fact, if someone called us a dog, it would be a great offense to us. But that's not the case here. You see, a dog has one admirable feature, one virtue that no other animal possesses. A dog always follows his master. He's man's best friend. He's loyal and faithful. In that sense, Caleb was indeed a dog. A loyal, faithful dog. He followed his master from the day that he left Egypt until the day that God called him home to glory. And our prayer should be, Lord, make me such a dog. A faithful, loyal dog. Now the name also means all heart. And what a name for such a man as Caleb. Perfectly suits him. He was a man of all heart. There was nothing half-hearted about him. He's not lukewarm in his devotion. There's nothing insincere about him. He is all heart. I've known plenty of people who had a head to understand, but no heart. They had hands to work, but no heart. They had feet to go, but no heart. But not Caleb. He's all heart. His head was clear, his hands were strong, his feet were willing, and he was all heart for the Lord. Whatever he did, in word or in deed, he did it with all his heart. So if Caleb means dog and all heart, and we put the two together, we get a glimpse of the character of this man. He was faithful to his master in all of the things that he did, and he followed the Lord fully with all his heart. With all his heart. Well, what is it that set him apart from everyone else? There were millions that came out of Egypt and made their way towards the promised land, but Caleb is different than all the others. Now what is it that makes him so peculiar? What makes him so faithful, so wholehearted in his service? Well, the Lord tells us, Caleb, my servant, had another spirit with him. The thing that distinguished Caleb from the millions around him is the fact that God had put his spirit within him. We might say today in New Testament terms that he is a new creature in Christ. Ezekiel speaks in chapter 36 of the Lord coming to his people and giving them a new heart, taking away the old cold and stony heart and giving them a new heart to know the Lord and to love him and to serve him. In the New Testament we call that the new birth. The Lord Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This is where we must begin. If you and I are to follow the Lord fully, there must be first given to us a new heart, a new spirit within us, a new nature to love God and to follow the Savior. That new heart can only be found at the foot of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, where the Spirit of God comes and applies the redeeming work of Christ to our souls, and we are born again of God's Spirit. Caleb had such a spirit within him. And you and I, if we are to follow the Lord fully, must have the same spirit within us. We must fall before the crucified Son of God, confess our guilt and our sin to him, cry out for mercy from him, lay hold upon him like Jacob did, and wrestle and hold on and refuse to let go until he blesses us. My servant Caleb, because he had another spirit in him, hath followed me fully. If you're going to follow the Lord fully, it must begin in obedience to him, and call upon him for salvation. Caleb was such a man. Now, what does it mean to follow the Lord fully? Well, he gives us some examples in his life.
And I would say, first of all, to follow the Lord fully means that we must follow him in full and perfect obedience. You notice what the Lord says about Caleb there in verse 24. He refers to him as my servant, Caleb. He's the Lord's servant. What does that mean? That means that he did exactly what his master told him to do. He did not pick and choose what he would obey. He obeyed fully. He doesn't come and say, I'll perform this duty, but I'm going to leave this one out. I will obey this command, but not that one. If you're working for an employer and you decide to choose what commands or orders you will follow and which ones you won't be in employment for very long. And even so, the Lord is not pleased with us when we do not follow his commands fully. The problem is that we've grown accustomed to the viewpoint that maybe some of the Lord's commands are not that important. Maybe baptism didn't seem that important to you, so you've neglected to be baptized. Or maybe church attendance doesn't rank very high on your list of things to do, and so we let it slip for a while. Or maybe the prayer meeting is neglected. We pick and choose which commands of the Lord to obey. But not Caleb, he followed the Lord fully. All of his commands. He would not violate the will of God at any point. His doctrine, his worship, his duty. Caleb was a man who was consecrated to the Lord. His mind, his heart, his money, his family, his life was given over to God. Charles Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, once said that a spirit of partial obedience is a spirit of radical disobedience. We want to take care that we're like Caleb and follow the Lord fully, in full obedience, keeping God's word, obeying God's commands. And if you look at your life and you realize that there are commands of God that you have not been carrying out, that it's time to repent of that sin and to render to the Lord that full and complete obedience. The Apostle James said that whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. We're told in the scriptures that the law is a whole. And so to break the law, even at one point, is to break the law completely. So following the Lord fully means obeying him completely. Let me suggest also that following the Lord fully means following him in spite of what others might do. Let me take you back to the spying expedition. Joshua and Caleb return to the camp, bring their report, and they find themselves greatly outnumbered, both by the other spies and then by the camp as a whole. And they're fearful, and the people are saying, we can't do it. Let's return to Egypt. And the whole nation seems to agree with that course. And Joshua and Caleb are the only two that are standing there and saying, no, trust God. God is able. He's greater than our enemies. They're in a significant minority. 2 against millions. Numbers 13 verse 30 says that Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. They're willing to follow the Lord into Canaan regardless of what the others are saying. Again, I would suggest to you that this is because Caleb has another spirit within him. The reason that he's different outwardly than everyone else is because he's different inwardly from everyone else. You want to follow the Lord fully. If that's your determined position, you will find yourself going against the crowd. You'll certainly be in the minority. There'll be times that you'll be forced to stand alone. If you're going to stand for the truth of God, you're going to find that it's not going to be very popular in these days. In fact, we're told by the Savior himself that because the world hated him, they will hate his disciples also. You'll never follow the Lord fully if you're more concerned about what everyone else thinks than what God thinks. We need to come to grips with the fact that as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not to be like everyone else. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We're to be a new creation in Jesus Christ. The old things are to pass away and all things are to become new. The vast majority of people in this world are traveling on the road of sin, that broad road that leads to a lost eternity. We, however, are to travel by the narrow road. We're to go through the narrow gate, and the Savior said there are few that find it. We will be in the minority. We must be willing to take our place there, to stand against the crowd, to swim against the flow, and to say, I'm going to do what God says, no matter what everyone else does. To follow the Lord fully means to follow him in full obedience, and to follow him in spite of what the world is doing. Let me also say that to follow the Lord fully means to follow him in spite of the obstacles that we'll meet. Some will follow the Lord as long as the way is smooth and easy. But we're not to be fair weather sailors. And when the road gets rough and difficult, we're not to quit on following the Lord. We're to come closer to following the Lord like Joshua and Caleb means following God, even though it means facing giants and walled cities. But let me assure you that there are no difficulties that will come before us that are too great for our God. There is no obstacle that faith cannot overcome. You'll find later on when you read through your Bible on from the book of Numbers that the people of Israel did indeed enter the promised land. Joshua chapter 14 tells us that Caleb was willing to take possession of the mountain region of Hebron. 5 years of conflict and Israel still had not taken possession of that part of the land. Hebron was built on a mountain. It was a strategic defensive position, probably a walled city. Furthermore, we're told that giants lived there. And yet, in spite of the obstacle, Caleb comes to Joshua and he says, give me this mountain. By the way, he was 85 years of age at that time. He wasn't looking for retirement. He was looking for a new challenge. And he desired the fight that no one else dared to fight. He's not looking for the easy way to take possession of a homeland. He's willing to take the difficult challenges. And if you look over in Joshua 15 and verse 14, you'll read that Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai and Ahiman and Talmai, the children of Anak. Those were the giants in the land. The giants that they'd seen 40 years earlier were still there when he returned to Hebron. But the size of the opposition and the difficulty did not cause his faith to waver. He served the Lord and followed him fully in spite of the obstacles. We have too many today that profess the name of Christ and they're ready for what we might call the sweet duties. The duties of joy and peace, but fighting giants? No, not for me, thank you. But a man who will fully follow the Lord is not afraid of a challenge. He's willing to take the difficult assignment. He's willing to be a witness to the world that he's a follower of Jesus Christ. Let me point out something else. To follow the Lord fully means we must follow him in spite of the personal cost. Some will say, I'll follow the Lord as long as it doesn't cost me much. That's not following the Lord. Certainly not following him fully. According to Numbers 14 and verse 10, Caleb's willingness to follow the Lord could have cost him his life. The people were ready to pick up stones and stone him until the Lord intervened. Following the Lord can be a costly business. A few weeks back, we looked at the invitation of the Lord Jesus to Simon Peter and to Andrew and James and John as they were tending their nets and fishing at the side of Galilee. And the Lord came along and said, come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And we're told that they immediately left their ship and their father and followed him. They gave up the only occupation they knew to be a follower of Jesus Christ. That says something. A little later, the Savior would come to where Matthew, the tax collector, was in his very lucrative position, taxing the people and lining his pockets. And the Lord said to him, Levi, Matthew, come and follow me. And he left the receipt of custom. He followed the Lord. We're told of a certain scribe that came to the Savior and said, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. In other words, he was saying that following me will involve personal sacrifice. It might mean leaving the comforts of home. The Savior went on to warn his disciples that to follow him would be to deny ourselves and to take up our cross daily. If we're going to be a faithful follower like Caleb, then we must be ready to face adversity and personal sacrifice and stand for the Lord and follow him. Following the Lord fully means following him every day of our lives. Not enough to say, well, I follow the Lord on a Sunday morning and go to church. That's not following the Lord. What about the rest of the week? You and I need to follow like Caleb, consistently following the Lord. He followed the Lord as a young man, and he followed the Lord as an old man. We said it already, the words of the Savior, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Are you following the Lord daily? Does each day that you have belong to the Lord? And whatever you do, do you do it with heart and soul and mind and strength for the Lord? Following the Lord fully also means that we follow him patiently. Caleb teaches us something about patience. Because of the unbelief and the rebellion amongst the people, he has to wait for 40 years before he gets his inheritance and enjoys the fruits of victory in the new land. He suffered because of the faithlessness of the children of Israel. He waited patiently in the wilderness for 40 years before he could take on the giants of Canaan. He didn't go off independently with Joshua and a few others and try and establish a city in the promised land. He waited for God. Sometimes following God fully means waiting upon him. Maybe even waiting in the wilderness, place of barrenness. But you wait on the promise of God that he will eventually fulfill his great promises to us and bring us into the possession of a promised land. Caleb reminds me a little bit of Adoniram Judson, who was a missionary. He'd spent 12 years in Burma. without seeing a convert. The missionary society that sent them out didn't sense the situation as a great missionary success. They didn't have much hope in Judson either. They wrote him a very diplomatic letter suggesting perhaps he might come home. And they asked him, what are the prospects for the future? I remember he's been there for 12 years without seeing a convert. What are the prospects for the future? His reply was this: the future is as bright as the promises of God. His confidence in God was the reason why he could spend 12 years in the wilderness of Burma. And even though it took a great deal of effort and he suffered greatly, revival did break out, and eventually souls were saved and the Lord worked in a mighty way. And I would suggest to you that whoever builds their life upon the promises of God has a great guarantee for the future. So I'm calling upon you today to follow the Lord like Joshua and Caleb, to follow him fully. All of your days, in spite of what the crowds might be doing, in spite of the obstacles, in spite of the waiting for the promises of God, follow him fully. Patiently work for him. Don't be distracted by those who are not as committed or as faithful as what you would want to be. Find those that are dedicated to the Lord and join yourselves with them and faithfully follow the Savior. Wait for it. I've one last thought to share with you. Basically, it's this: is it worth it? Is it worth it to follow the Lord fully? Knowing that there are difficulties and obstacles and trials and standing alone upon the word while all the rest forsake, is it worth it? Look what it says in verse 24 once again. My servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Ask Caleb, is it worth it to follow the Lord fully? Ask Caleb, was it worth it, Caleb? They'll answer yes, because I received the fulfillment of God's promises. Now, it took a while for them to come, but when they came in full abundance. Joshua took the people into the land. Caleb won his inheritance. And as God had promised, he outlived his contemporaries. He entered the promised land after years of battle, helping to win control of the land for his nation. He still doesn't have a place to call home. He comes to Joshua and says, now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heard in that day how the Anakims were there, and how the cities were great and fenced. If so be that the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua said, go and do it, Caleb. Go and claim your inheritance. And we're told that Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he hath followed the Lord fully. A full inheritance because he followed the Lord fully. As an old man in his latter years, he had the honor of enjoying the blessings of God in full measure. When he had only seen the land, he said, we are able to take it. Everyone else said, no, no, we can't do it. But he lived in belief and in faith. He took possession of the land. The fulfillment of God's promises were made to him. But didn't stop with Caleb, you know. You notice what it says in the end of that verse 24. Not only did Caleb enter into the land and have possession of it, but we're told that his seed shall possess it. When you follow the Lord fully, not only do you receive the fulfillment of God's promises, but your descendants will be blessed also. His seed shall possess it. God had promised to bless the children of the one who followed him fully. My grandmother used to say that God is no man's debtor. Caleb left a blessing to his children. It wasn't the land. He had sons that he fought for, but not so that they might benefit in a material sense, though they did. He carved out a portion for his family to enjoy and the descendants to follow. If you're familiar with the story in Judges 1, how his daughter came to him and asked him for a double blessing. She asked for springs of water, and he gave her the upper and the lower springs. His children and his grandchildren were blessed because their father and their grandfather fully followed the Lord. That's a far greater inheritance than leaving for our children money and lands. A testimony of following the Lord is not what we want to give to the generations to come. To live as a man or woman of faith who followed the Lord, whose testimony was bright for the Savior, and we leave behind a spiritual inheritance that they too, following in our footsteps, will follow the Savior also. Is it worth it? Absolutely it is. To receive the blessings of God and to see our children follow in faith. I often think of the words of John, who said that he could think of no greater joy than to see his children walk in faith. And if you want that joy, the Lord tells us here in Numbers 14 and verse 24 that the man who followed him fully, that his seed, his descendants, were blessed of God also. May the Lord help us to follow him fully. This is the secret to a happy life, to a useful life, to a blessed life. It's a life that enables us then, with the Apostle Paul, when we look back at all that we've done, to be able to say that I've run the race, I've finished the course, and I've fought the good fight, and I'm ready to meet the Savior. May the Lord help us to follow him fully all the days of our life for his own name's sake. Amen. Amen. Will you please take your hymn book?